Join us to listen to one woman's struggle with abortion and breast cancer next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. Our co-host, Janet Morana, and I are joined by our special guest today, Charnette Massey. So welcome to all of you.
Thank you, Father.
Janet, tell us about Charnette.
Well, I first met Charnette several years ago. She came to the Silent No More Awareness campaign, one of our events, where Charnette spoke out about her abortion and about the fact that she later on had breast cancer as a result of the risk it put her in because of her abortion. And it was a very powerful testimony, and I thought it would be a good idea for our viewers to have an opportunity to speak with Charnette today.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining us. You've been on some of our other programs and, of course, at the Silent No More Awareness Gathering in Washington, D.C. Have you been at other gatherings besides the one at the Supreme Court?
I have been. Been in numerous television interviews and so forth, and yes, I have. I've done others.
Tell us how you came to have an abortion.
I was 20 years old, and I never thought that I would enter an abortion facility. At least I hoped I would not have. And I remember the day I went home, and I told my boyfriend at the time that I was pregnant. And he looked at me, and he said, "Are you going to have an abortion?" And when he said that, that's when I knew that he was not going to be the one to marry me and to take care of me and our baby. And so he took me to the abortion facility.
Well, how did that make you feel when he asked you that question?
Was I going to have an abortion? It made me feel cheap. It made me feel like my dream of having a home, of having a family, was gone, that I was not going to have that with him.
What did you want him to say?
I want him to say, "I love you. I want to marry you, and I want to raise our child." That's what I wanted him to say.
So then you had the abortion.
Yes, I did, and it was a very dramatic experience. I stood online, and I like to tell this part of my story because it was so weird. It's like every time I watch a movie from the Holocaust, I start crying because that's kind of like what my situation was. I went into this room, and there was a bunch of women just standing online. Just standing online, just waiting to enter this room where we were taking our babies to death. And at the time, my stomach was so flat, so I didn't really realize that I was getting ready to kill my child. You know, I just thought, like they told me, it was just tissue. It was just a glob of tissue. It could feel no pain. That's what they told me. And I always remember the woman, I shouldn't even say woman, because she looked like she was at least 15 years old. She was about 6 or 7 months pregnant. You could see the child in her womb because her stomach was so big. And I said, "My gosh, this woman, she's killing her child." And I'll never forget that. And then I'll never forget waking up and this woman standing over me saying, "You know, that you're fine, you're going to be okay." And then she set me down and she gave me a cup of tea and 2 Tylenol. And she said, "This will help you with your pain." And I never knew, looking back now, how much pain I was really, really going to be in for the rest of my life.
So you had that abortion, and then basically you kind of stuffed it down, right? You kind of blocked it out?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It's like I never had an abortion. That's what, you know, that's what got me through it, too, because I said, as I was on this line, I kept saying, "I can't believe I'm here. I don't believe I'm here. I don't believe this has happened to me." And I kept saying, "Well, I'm just, you know, this has never happened. I never told anyone. I never told anyone. I just kept it to myself." And I justify it by saying, "Well, I'm pro-choice. It's my body. And, you know, I'm pro-choice." And I told one civilian doctor one time, and I say that because I'm a Navy wife and my husband's an officer in the military. And, you know, to come out as a Navy wife and say, "Oh, I've had an abortion," it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. So I told one civilian person. And he told me, "Oh, you never have to tell anyone because it doesn't contribute to the pain that you're having right now." And I'm talking about the physical pain that I went through after my abortion.
Mm-hmm. So you obviously, like you said, you went on, you married, and you had a child, right? Gabriella, and she's about 6 years old now.
Yeah.
But then what happened? You became pregnant, like, again? And when did you kind of face your abortion?
Well, I did not face my abortion until I was forced to face it. And even getting pregnant with Gabrielle, I mean, I want to make sure I say this. I basically lost my fertility after my abortion. It was not easy for me to get pregnant, and I didn't even know I was pregnant with Gabrielle until I begged my husband to take me to the doctor because I wasn't feeling well, and then the pregnancy test came back positive. But I had had a surgery for infertility before then. So it really, that wasn't an easy pregnancy with Gabby. And then my second pregnancy, lo and behold, comes after being diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 31 years old. And so the point I want to get across is that I lost my health the day I took the life of my child. I lost my fertility. And I had to have two surgeries for infertility before I found out I was pregnant with either child, even with my son. And then I get this huge diagnosis on top of everything else. And then that's what made me realize. And I knew that it was my abortion that took away my health and that contributed to the fact that I am now and had been 31 years old with breast cancer.
Now, in one of your testimonies in with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, you said this. You said, my breast cancer gave me the courage to love my dead child.
Yes, it did.
Explain to us what you mean by that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, breast cancer is the best gift I could have ever been given. And I love the fact that I have breast cancer and that I have lost my left breast. Because if I did not, I don't think that I would have ever been able to love the child that I lost to abortion. And I love my baby and I miss my baby. And I'm so glad that I can pray for my child with my daughter now. And she prays for her baby, sister, she calls her all the time. And, you know, I mean, because it took away the fact that I felt like I had to be silent. And I was dying in silence until I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was like breast cancer gave me freedom to speak and to speak up and to speak out and say, look, this is what I did with my body. And this is where I am right now.
Right. And when you were diagnosed with breast cancer, I believe you found out you were pregnant. And it was almost like the next day.
It was.
you found out you also had breast cancer. I mean, this is a lot. And what was the doctor's advice to you at that time? I mean, because now you're telling the doctor, well, I'm pregnant, and he tells you you have breast cancer. There must be a protocol of treatment he wants to do.
Right.
What was the medical advice given to you?
Well, it's funny, and this has been my life since the abortion, is that it's been hard for me to get pregnant to begin with. And before, with the second pregnancy with my son, I had surgery for infertility, so I didn't even know that I could get pregnant. Again, I had to have this surgery, lost another part of, you know, my body. And so the doctors were all telling me, don't even think about getting pregnant. What they told me was, I went in for my mammogram, not thinking anything. And then I get this huge diagnosis, and I said, wait a minute, I have a 3-year-old daughter at home. Am I going to get to see her grow up? And they said, possibly not. So then I go to Yale, where they tell me to go with all, you know, these experts, and they tell me, don't even think about getting pregnant. Don't even think about ever having another child. Well, the next day I go to the doctor because I'm not feeling well because of this big diagnosis, and I find out I'm pregnant. And I'm just like, I can't believe it. And I knew instantly that this was a gift from God, that my child was a gift from God. And my doctors immediately, my personal doctors, they said, well, we don't know all the facts yet, but they did everything that they could, each one of my doctors, to save my child and my life. And there is no reason that I see why a woman would ever have to give up her child for her life.
So you received treatment for the breast cancer while going through pregnancy.
Yes, I did.
And then the child born was healthy.
Yes, yes.
And when you say treatment, you went through chemotherapy while you were pregnant?
Yes, I did in my second trimester. And there's a huge article right now in People magazine about breast cancer and pregnancy and how you do not have to give up your life for your child, and you do not have to give up your child to save your own life.
Now, Charnette, do you see your breast cancer as linked to your abortion?
Of course I do. And I've said it again and again and again, and I will continue to say it, and that is the biggest message that I want everyone in this world to know. I took birth control pills, I had an abortion, and here I am, here I was at the age of 31 years old with breast cancer. I mean, what else could it have been? It was that.
And there was no history of breast cancer now in your family,
no,
correct?
No, there's not.
I mean, because a lot of people say, well, maybe there was something, your mother, right. Other sisters, aunts, no one. No history of breast cancer in your family.
No history.
Well, of course, as we know, this is more than just your own opinion. Scientific studies nationally and internationally show the link between...
I have found a study that is identical to my pathology report.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have. And I even called the physician who did it. I emailed him, and he agreed with me. There are so many physicians who agree with me, but it's kind of like my husband. If you speak up, if you tell the truth, I mean, there's so many people that just don't want the truth out there.
Yeah.
And
well, you mentioned your husband. Now, he has a testimony of his own.
And
tell us in a nutshell how he stood up for life and for truth in his own profession.
You know, I admire my husband. He's a young Navy physician, and he does not prescribe birth control pills. And, you know, unfortunately, they tried really hard. There was just one individual in the military, too, I would say, who just didn't like the fact that he would not prescribe and tried to ruin his career. And he stood his ground. He stood his ground and said, I'm not going to prescribe. And especially seeing what happened to his wife, you know, and he just is not going to go against his Catholic faith, and he's just not going to do it. And he loves life, and he defends life, and he stands up for it.
You know, Charnette, you mentioned, though, back when you first had your abortion, for many, many years, you considered yourself pro-choice. You know, and part of it was you stuffed that abortion way down, and you felt it's a woman's right to choose. What helped you change? Was it when you got the breast cancer and you came to grips with the fact that you had killed the baby? Or what helped you really you can sit here now and say, I'm 100% pro-life and I want women not to choose abortion. What helped kind of give you that complete conversion?
I've wanted to say this before. My husband helped me a lot to change. You know, my husband believes in his oath that he took as a physician to do no harm. And one day I was standing in the kitchen, and, you know, I'm still believing in my I'm pro-choice. And he showed me a photograph of an aborted baby. And I cried that whole entire day. I said, I could not believe that this is what they do to babies. This is what they did to my child. And to the child that was the woman who was behind me on that line and all those other women on that line. And I knew, and I still couldn't speak until the day I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and they told me that I was not going to see my daughter grow up. And I immediately thought, justice, my life for the life that I took. And I was in a CAT scan machine holding a picture of Gabby and praying and saying, God, if I have to die, please give me another child so I could see, so that Gabby wouldn't be alone. And so then when I found out I was pregnant the day after being diagnosed with the breast cancer, I knew. I said, okay, God, why would you send me a baby, you know, at this point in my life? And I said to myself, I got it. And then my son was born premature. He came into this world at 30 weeks gestation, 3 pounds and 2 ounces. And ironically, I looked at my son and I said, my gosh, you remind me of somebody. And he was the same weight in gestational age as the baby in the picture that my husband had showed me of the child who was aborted.
Wow.
And that's when I knew. I said, oh, my gosh, I have to stand up for every single child in this world. And that's when I knew. And I have to speak up and tell my story so that women will know what I have been through, so that they don't have to go through what I have gone through. And that's why I tell my story. That's why I hope and I pray that women will listen to me so that they don't just have to sit in front of someone someday and hear that you're not going to see your child grow up. And they don't have to miss the child whose life they took. That you have the right to love your child. If you aborted your child, you have the right to love the child that you lost.
How have your friends responded to your now very public sharing of your abortion testimony?
My friends... That's when you know you have a good friend, when they're still your friend, when you speak up. And they've been wonderful. They really have.
Well, you spoke in front of the Supreme Court, as we've already mentioned, in this Silent No More Awareness campaign. We would like to share with our viewers a short clip of part of your testimony on that occasion. It was the anniversary of the tragic Roe v. Wade decision. What year is the one we're about to see?
It was the... first gathering in 2003.
Okay, let's take a look at that clip.
I love this scar. I my breasts anymore, that I was 31 years old when a doctor told me that I may not see my beautiful 3-year-old daughter grow up. I love the scar, and do you know why I love the scar? I love it because it gave me the courage that I needed to love my dead child. Because for years I lied and I would tell everybody I never had an abortion. Even my doctors, I would say I never had an abortion. And when I finally did tell one doctor, he said I didn't need to worry about it because there's no risk with breast cancer and abortion. And I hope standing before all of you today that you now see and that you now will know that there is definitely a link between abortion and breast cancer.
Well, thank you, Charnette, for sharing your testimony. And obviously, we have two additional guests on our set. Would you introduce them to us?
Yes, this is Gabrielle, and she's 6 years old. And this is Christian, and he is 3 years old.
And when you were pregnant with Christian, that was when you told us about before, right?
Yes, exactly. This is my little boy. And I hope that you can look at him and see he's healthy, he's beautiful, and... You know, and we've both been through so much together, and he's alive, and this is what you get, and there's no way that I would have given up my son, and I just hope that women can take a look at him, and you know, and if you are post-abortive, just know that you have the right to love your child. You have the right. I named my child. I named my child Sarah Eve. Sarah Eve Mistel.
Sarah Eve, the one who was aborted.
Yes, I did.
Now, just to recap, you know, you had just found out you were expecting Christian when you got the diagnosis of the breast cancer. And so you went through chemotherapy.
Yes, I did.
During, what was it, your second trimester?
I started in my second trimester, which they have found is safe to do in your second trimester with certain chemo agents. And he's fine.
Yeah. He was perfectly healthy, and I bet there were other medical professionals that were kind of counseling you to have an abortion.
There were some, not my immediate team, but there were some people who kind of thought I was out of my mind, who thought I was crazy. Yeah. You know, they kind of said, well, you already have a child. And there is no medical data that I could find that would say that I would have lived any longer had I given up my child. And I think I would have died just from knowing that I'd lost a second child.
Yeah. Well, thank you, children, for joining us on the set, and thanks again, Charnette, for being with us today, and Janet, for all that you do with these so many other women that have had abortions. And thank you for what you do, brothers and sisters, for the cause of life. Stay with us now after this break. We will have our action segment. We'll give you more ideas what you can do for the defense of life, and for those who have had abortions, know that the healing and the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ are ready for you. Turn to Him with trust. Stay with us.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You Can Save Someone's Life Today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, You Can Save Someone's Life Today are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back the help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, You can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. Thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council. Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wild, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospeloflife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to our action segment. We want to encourage you today to spread the word that there is the link between abortion and breast cancer. The studies and the information, Janet and I are going to put some tools into your hands right now that you can fall back on to defend that position, that in fact, abortion is a risk factor for breast cancer. And of course, bolstered by the testimony of Charnette that you just heard and saw right before your eyes, she is living proof of an example of this link. So Janet, what kind of tools can we give for this, for people to spread this message?
Well, first of all, we have what's called the ABC link of video, which is available in video and DVD. It's the abortion breast cancer link video, of which Charnette is also featured on that video, along with several other women and their testimonies. But in addition, on that video is Dr. Joel Brin, and he is a professor at a university in New York, and he talks about the studies. There's 13 out of 15 studies have shown that there is definitely a link between abortion and breast cancer. And there's a lot of information in that video, personal testimonies, Dr. Brin's scientific facts, but then in addition, there's a breast surgeon, Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, and as from the perspective of a breast surgeon, she talks about the clients coming into her facility. And one striking example is a set of identical twins. One had an abortion and one didn't. And the one that had the abortion is the one who developed breast cancer. And so this video is a perfect tool for people to use to educate people about the link between abortion and breast cancer.
Well, as you referenced just now, the science shows the evidence of the link. The politics of the abortion debate tends to obscure it. People have said absolutely amazingly unfounded things such as, oh, well, the link between abortion and breast cancer has been disproved. Well, how they can say something like that has nothing to do with the science. It has everything to do with the politics and the ideology of those who do not want to say a single bad thing about abortion. But the science there speaks for itself. And this is where these tools are so valuable, because you have the expert evidence, you have a relatively simple explanations of what the linkage is, namely that especially if it's a first pregnancy, when it's interrupted, well, the way that pregnancy affects the development of the cells in the breast, that is also interrupted, and those cells are then in a state that makes them more prone to become cancerous.
That's right. In addition to the video, we also have a booklet available that the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute has put out, and in that are a lot of the scientific facts and information. And that booklet could be in your church prayer group meetings, mm-hmm. The women's group, in a literature rack, track rack, right in the back of the church. Because, you know, we're not going to get people to really accept the fact that there is definitely a link between abortion and breast cancer unless we get them to really embrace and know the facts.
There are many opportunities to call into talk shows, radio shows, to write letters to the editor, especially when you see an article in a magazine about breast cancer and breast cancer prevention, or to take part in, there are often rallies and walks and marches for, you know, working for a cure for breast cancer. Well, why not bring to the attention of people organizing those kinds of events this kind of information? Give them a copy of the DVD and of the booklet. And then, of course, in ordinary conversation, too, it comes up a lot, doesn't it?
That's right. Especially certain times of a year are designated as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, or there'll be special races, you know, or walks to raise money mm-hmm. for breast cancer research and so on. That's the perfect time to bring up these discussions, to write the letters to the editor, because there's people who are, just like you're saying, Father, are in denial about the definitely there is a link between abortion and breast cancer. We want them to contact us at Gospel of Life, order these tools, and get the word out. You can help a woman not go down this road.
And to encourage reporters, too, and newspapers and magazines to do a story on this. It's an excellent topic for a story, especially when there are people like Charnette out there willing to speak about such personal and painful things.
That's right. If they'd like Charnette to come to their area or to her testimony, they can contact us at Gospel Life also.
Now, she was sharing with us after the show that how many different avenues, Christian and secular, she has spoken. She's been on Oprah Winfrey, as a matter of fact. So
that's
she's
right.
not afraid to get right out there in front of the spotlight and share that testimony.
That's right.
Well, thanks very much, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for all you do to defend life. Let's keep in touch. Tell your friends and relatives and pro-life friends about our program. And tune in next week for Gospel of Life.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospeloflife.com or email us at info@gospeloflife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.